When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater. This week, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's The Five Orange Pips, with Lindsay Kaytai, Kelly Nugent, and guest Omar Najam.
Hello, welcome to Public Domain Theater. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent. And today, we are joined by esteemed writer, director, improvisor. You may know him from Geek and Sundry. You may know him from Hyper RPG, Saving Throw Show, Sunnydale Study Group. And thank you for questing. Omar Najam is here.
Hello.
Hooray.
How's it going? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I am particularly very excited to have you on the podcast because previously I missed the podcast of Teen Creeps you recorded where we were reading Goosebumps, The Haunted School.
Yes.
And I apologize for that. I mismanaged my time at work. And I found that episode delightful.
Thank you.
So I'm very glad that you're here with us now.
Omar is the creator of a phrase that our listeners love, which is no commentary.
Yeah. No commentary, no commentary, no commentary,
no commentary.
I don't know how you guys were saying that so quickly, because when I do it, I feel like I sound like an idiot.
No commentary, no commentary.
We
no
were
commentary.
Driven by the madness.
No, commentary, no commentary. It was the no madness commentary. Of the book. I did lose my mind and regain it. In our recording.
I've never understood Lovecraft until reading that book. Mm-hmm. That's when I was just like, oh, I get it.
And we're here.
So if anybody's curious about what a delightful duo Kelly and Omar were, just go listen to Teen Creeps, Goosebumps, Haunted School.
Listen, I like to think about what a delightful duo we were in days past. We don't speak anymore.
No.
It's too bad. Well, I haven't been witness to it, so it doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Oh, you're gonna see it in this recording.
You'll see it. Well, probably.
I am pumped.
Cannot wait to see the antagonism.
I'm not.
Like, I just like as I'm reading, Omar's gonna be like, actually, you know, it's like really funny that you would say that way because like I wouldn't pronounce
it's
that way.
It's pronounced writer. It's an E, not an O.
It's not creator, it's creator.
I see.
That's weird how you were pronouncing it. Special.
Air belongs in the sky, not being put on.
Oh, wow. I sense already. We're already fighting. So why can't we find something to agree about, which is some facts about Sir Arthur Conan Doyle?
That's the question.
This is the best segue I've ever done.
Just real quick before you start reading it, when you were reading the intro, I fully expected you to say, by Sir Arthur Sherlock Holmes. I don't know why.
Oh, my God.
Stupid, Lindsay.
You idiot.
You dumb fucking bitch.
You silly little bent. Okay, so Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, do you know what his middle name is?
Conan.
No. I thought that too. It's
misleading.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay, there's another name.
Okay.
Shirley.
No.
Don't call me
but
Shirley.
I'm close.
Ignatius.
Shut your damn
you
face.
You are joking.
No, I'm serious. I knew you guys would gasp like that.
That is...
That's really weird.
Why wouldn't you use Ignatius?
I know.
If you're going to use three names,
I know.
Whole hog.
Why leave out Iggy?
Why would you? Why leave
Arthur
out Iggy?
Arthur Ignatius Doyle?
Arthur Ignatius Conan Doyle.
Okay. Yeah.
I would have gone Ignatius Doyle.
Ignatius Doyle.
So that I could sound like a polyp that one gets from a disease.
So he is an Irish author born in Scotland.
What?
I know. What? stop.
These facts are blowing my mind. Okay. And we just started.
I mean, honestly, he was born in 1859. Now, one of these facts is very embarrassing. One is that he tried his own hand as a detective.
Okay. And didn't.
I mean, it just says most notably in the cases of George Adalji and Oscar Slater.
Which he failed at miserably, I'm assuming.
I've never heard of someone being like, we solved the Slater case.
Thanks to Sir Arthur
Thanks
Conan
to Ignatius.
Ignatius Doyle.
Ignatius strikes again.
So, I mean, that's really embarrassing to me. He became friends with James M. Barrie, the author of Peter Pan.
Oh.
And Barrie even wrote a rather humorous story about their failed attempts as playwrights. So the character of Sherlock Holmes, who is one of his most favorite famous characters.
He hated him.
Never heard of it.
He hated him. He was like, he considered himself to be
mummified.
Who's his enemy?
Mumford
Moriarty.
And Sons.
Moriarty, thank you.
Mumford and Sons. Sorry, I believe it is
Mumford and Sons.
Okay, great. So his enemy
it's spelled Moriarty, but it is pronounced Mumford and Sons.
But the character of Sherlock Holmes is largely based upon one of his lecturers at the University of Edinburgh. Thank you. Named Joseph Bell. So I feel like this was. I mean, I wonder how Joseph Bell
felt
about
this. He gave him a way more interesting name. I say kudos.
Yeah, kudos. Yeah. He was knighted in 1902 in part for his writings on the war in South Africa. He seriously considered refusing the offer because he felt undeserving because he was just doing his duty.
Take the compliment, bro.
Seriously.
But here's the thing. He still took the offer, but then he had Sherlock Holmes refuse knighthood.
Oh, which I think is a cop there. Out. I see what he did there. Mm-hmm. Having his cake and also eating it.
Yes.
Did he go to the netting ceremony and like tell the queen, like, I'm doing this, but Sherlock over here is not? And everyone's like, oh, geez.
And then he pulls out a puppet of Sherlock.
I don't want it.
Like, oh, no, thank you for me, please.
He is
and that's
deep
how
in.
He invented the Muppets. Little known fact that I know.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Is things I make up.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that he was an avowed spiritualist? And he was friends, but only for a time, with Harry Houdini.
You know what? The spiritualist thing really surprises me because Sherlock is so like, deduction.
Yeah.
Can't deduce spiritualism.
And he was like super into fairies, right? Like Sherlock is like, only things I can see. And Ignatius was like, nah, fairies.
Yeah, no, he was really into all that stuff. And this is why Harry Houdini stopped being friends with him, because Harry Houdini was an opponent of the spiritualist movement.
Oh,
because
yeah.
His mother died. And so people were like doing, oh, well, we can talk to your mother, blah, blah, blah. But he was like, this is just trickery, trying to like, take advantage of people.
Right.
And so then Houdini started like coming to like seances and being like, I'm gonna expose you as a fraud, and like ruining seances.
Whoa. I actually learned about that from the podcast Lore, except the TV show that they did on Amazon.
Yeah,
they talked about Houdini hating spiritualists.
Yeah. And then so Houdini was like, I am going to convince you, Ignatius, that this is all a sham. And Ignatius was like, never. And then they had fallen
not
out.
Not on your life. I will cling to this from beyond the grave. Kudos to Ignatius for writing a character that wasn't him.
Yeah.
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 That's no one does that.
No. I write every character. It's just, it's all fanfic, but I'm in it.
I'm not trying to be funny. That is legitimately all I do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, all your characters are named Kinsey.
Yeah. Yeah. Kinsey Leitai.
And all your characters are named Nomar.
Yep.
Nomar.
Yep. They're all
not
baseball players.
Mar.
Mar.
Yeah.
Just Mar. And then Sir Arthur Conan Doyle died on July 7th, 1930, by a heart attack at the age of 71.
Wow. Huh, ripe old age. Well,
ripe.
Now that I've remembered how old my mom is, I take that back.
Yeah, I just remember how old my mom is too. Dang. Okay, so like
not a ripe age.
Not at all.
Like, he An deserved another 20 years at least.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As does my mother.
What could we find, you know, from his writings if he were able to continue?
Into the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into the 50s?
Wow.
Can you imagine he saw fairies and like wrote all this stuff
mm-hmm.
and like experienced the West African War and then was hanging around with a bunch of greasers?
Who were and just that's like, how Ignatius saw the birth of rock and roll. Yeah. It was him and Elvis.
Right. What a trip.
Just kidding. I know it started with black people.
Yeah, and was stolen by Elvis. That's fine. We can flay more Elvis.
Adapted.
Yeah. Not credited.
Well, white people made it out like Elvis invented it.
Yeah, exactly.
Elvis didn't.
No.
Respect to Elvis, not respect with white to white people who didn't listen to previous rock and rollers.
Elvis yes. is which marketing is what they're team called. Boo. Previous rock and rollers.
Rock and rollers.
Ugh, are you ready to start reading this thing?
I think so.
I am.
Are you guys ready? Okay. So I'll begin.
Okay.
The Five Orange Pips by Arthur Conan Doyle.
Ignatius.
Nay, Ignatius. When I glance over my notes and records of the Sherlock Holmes cases between the years 82 and 90, I am faced by so many which present strange and interesting features that it is no easy matter to know which to choose and which to leave. Some, however, have already gained publicity through the papers, and others have not offered a field for these peculiar qualities which my friend possessed in so high a degree, and which it is the object of these papers to illustrate.
I was like, is this an intro to the story? Did we fuck this up? And I was like, oh.
No, we're no, Watson, aren't we?
We're Watsoning.
It'd Dang. Be funny if we turn out to not be.
And then he's
I'm
like,
still holding out.
And then, like, with two pages left, he's like, and now the orange pips.
And as a parent, none of this concerned me.
Yeah. As a parent named Bob, couldn't have cared less.
Really could have used more macadamia nuts.
I do.
Some, too, have baffled his analytical skill and would be, as narratives, beginnings without an ending, while others have been but partially cleared up and have their explanations founded rather upon conjecture and surmise than on absolute logical proof which was so dear to him. There is, however, one of these last which was so remarkable in its details and so startling in its results that I am tempted to give some account of it in spite of the fact that there are points in connection with it which never have been, and probably never will be, entirely cleared up. The year 87 furnishes us with a long series of cases of greater or less interest, of which I retain the records.
Debbie Gibson was topping the charts.
The town of Footloose was never to be the same.
It was the year of love.
Among my headings under this one, 12 months, I find an account of the adventure of the Peridol Chamber of the Amateur Medicant Society, who held a luxurious club in the lower vault of a furniture warehouse, of the facts connected with the loss of the British barque Sophie Anderson, of the singular adventures of the Grice Pattersons in the island of Ufa, and finally, of the Camberwell poisoning case.
Okay. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what he's saying. He's just listing different things.
Here's all the ones I'm not going to tell you about.
I know. Why is he even telling us about these?
I just wanted to throw that out that, like, I don't know any of the names or places that were just said. So, but those aren't the story, right?
No.
So I'm good?
I don't. We're talking about orange pips.
Just checking.
Five of them.
I love that group.
The Five Orange
Gladys
Pips.
Gladys and the Five Orange Pips.
In the latter, as may be remembered, Sherlock Holmes was able, by winding up the dead man's watch, to prove that it had been wound up 2 hours before, and that therefore the deceased had gone to bed within that time, a deduction which was of the greatest importance of clearing up the case. Why is he rehashing these other cases we don't care about?
Why are you so defensive about Sherlock Holmes? We get it. He was brilliant. Yeah. We all know.
I know.
In fact, I'm disappointed. This story is also about Sherlock Holmes. Did you not write about anything else? Ignatius.
Ignatius.
Iggy. Branch out.
All these I may sketch out at some future date, but none of them present such singular features as the strange train of circumstances, which I have now taken up my pen to describe.
Thank God.
Not yet.
Not yeah. yet.
That is not yet that yeah. I will eventually get
you took
to.
Took up that pen like 2 hours ago, buddy.
It was in the latter days of September, and the equinoctial gales had set in with the exceptional violence.
Nice word.
Nice.
Equinoctial.
Equinoctial gales.
I love when those happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's what, like four times a year?
Yeah.
Four times a year, those
two,
winds.
Two, the equinox, yeah.
Oh, right. There are only two.
Only two.
Because you know what I was mixing up?
The latter of September might be my favorite time of year.
Mm-hmm. All day, the wind had screamed and the rain had beaten against the windows so that even here, in the heart of great handmade London, we were forced to raise our minds for the instant from the routine of life and to recognize the presence of those great elemental forces which shriek at mankind through the bars of civilization like untamed beasts in a cage. As evening drew in, the storm grew higher and louder, and the wind cried and sobbed like a child in the chimney.
Cried
okay.
Mary.
Wow, okay. Let's
and the wind cried
that was actually
Mary.
Just that was actually you should that, check in on that.
You know, you should maybe just open the flu. I think I think little Tippy Tommy is up there right now.
The wind screamed, "I'm stuck."
The wind screamed, "Mommy, please. I finished the cleaning."
And all I could think of was the elements.
And all I thought was equinox.
were it former September, would this not be the case?
But latter September, we are cursed.
Do
I'm
you
so
remember
hungry.
The latter days of September?
Please, I'm so hungry.
Oh, wind, shut up.
We get it.
And finish the job.
Sherlock Holmes sat moodily at one side of the fireplace, cross-indexing his records of crime, while I, at the other, was deep in one of Clark Russell's fine sea stories until the howl of the gale from without seemed to blend with the text and the splash of the rain to lengthen out onto the long swash of the sea waves.
And wondering when Sherlock and I would admit our love.
He's also like, is this book real?
I can't tell the difference between the words I'm reading and the water on my face is the best review I've ever heard of a story.
They're called tears, buddy.
My wife was on a visit to her mother's, so it was the perfect time to bang in the rain. That was from me. Not from the book.
Ignatius.
Oh, that sounded like such an Ignatius turn of phrase, too.
I know. Mm-hmm. Equinoctial banging. Wow.
You should write a parody.
Thank you. And for a few days, I was a dweller once more in my old quarters at Baker Street. Why? Said I, glancing up at my companion. That was surely the bell. Who could come tonight? Some friend of yours, perhaps? Except yourself, I have none, he answered. I do not encourage visitors.
This is not how I imagine Sherlock should sound.
A client, then. If so, it is a serious case.
I use deduction.
Deduction.
I look at the facts before me and I think to myself, which of these does not belong?
Oh, Sherlock.
I am Sherlock Holmes.
I am Sherlock Holmes.
I live in Baker Street. Okay. Nothing less could bring a man out on such a day and at such an hour. But I take it that it is more likely to be some crony of the landlady's. Sherlock Holmes was wrong in his conjecture, however, for there came a step in the passage and a tapping at the door. He stretched out his long arm to turn the lamp away from himself and towards the vacant chair upon which a newcomer must sit. Come in, said he. The man who entered was young, some 22 at the outside, well groomed and trimly clad.
I hear that.
With the something of refinement and delicacy in his bearing.
Oh, shit, this went noir.
Mm-hmm.
He had legs all the way up to there.
All the way up to there.
Listen, mister, there was a tremble to his voice.
I'm in trouble.
The streaming umbrella which he held in his hand and his long, shining waterproof told of the fierce weather through which he had come. He looked about him.
Sexual tension.
Yeah, that is.
He looked about him anxiously in the glare of the lamp. And I could see that his face was pale and his eyes heavy. Like those of a man who is weighed down with some great anxiety.
I will never read Sherlock Holmes stories the same way ever
again.
This is
perfect. This is better. Can we call Moffat and tell him to roll it back?
Yeah. Roll it back.
Roll it back.
Back to one, please.
I owe you an apology, he said, raising his golden pince-nez to his eyes. Don't know if I'm saying that right. I trust that I'm not intruding. I fear that I have brought some traces of the storm and rain into your snug chamber. Give me your coat and umbrella, said Holmes. They may rest here on the hook and we'll be dry presently.
Oh, it's going to be real embarrassing when I try to recreate this voice.
You have come up from the southwest, I see. Yes, from Horsham. That clay and chalk mixture which I see upon your toe caps is quite distinctive.
All right, we get it. You're smart.
I have come for advice. That is easily got. And help. That is not always so easy. I have heard of you, it's Mr. Holmes.
Lady.
Oh, that is not also so easy to get.
It's like some Princess Bride business right now.
I have heard of you, Mr. Holmes. I heard from Major Prendergast how you saved him in the Tankerville Club scandal. Of course, he was wrongfully accused of cheating at cards.
Oh, now he's a Jewish mom.
He said that you could solve anything. He said too much. That you are never beaten. I have been beaten 4 times, 3 times by men, and 1 by a woman. But what is that compared with the number of your successes? It is true that I have been generally successful. Then you may be so with me.
Oh, hello.
You may be so successful with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, let's wrap this up.
I beg that you will draw your chair up to the fire and favor me with some details as to your case. It is no ordinary one. None of those which come to me are. I am the last court of appeal.
And the buck stops with you.
Everyone always comes to me last.
And yet I question, sir, whether in all your experience you've ever listened to a more mysterious and inexplicable chain of events than those which have happened in my own family. You fill me with interest, said Holmes.
Pray, I don't know if our listeners could quite tell, but that was me spitting water back into my water bottle.
Pray give us the essential facts from the commencement, and I can afterwards question you as to those details which seem to me to be the most important. The young man pulled his chair up and pushed his wet feet out towards the blaze. My name, said he, is John Openshaw, but my own affairs have, as far as I can understand, little to do with this awful business. It is a hereditary matter, so in order to give you an idea of the facts, I must go back to the commencement of the affair. You must know that my grandfather had 2 sons, my uncle Elias and my father Joseph.
They married each other. Now each of our family members have 6 toes on.
My father had a small factory at Coventry, which he enlarged at the time of the invention of bicycling. He was a patentee of the Openshaw Unbreakable Tire, and his business met with such success that he was able to sell it and to retire upon a handsome competence. My uncle Elias emigrated to America when he was a young man and became a planter in Florida, where he was reported to have done very well. At the time of the war,
We're not sure.
We read it in a paper.
Unclear.
But we've never heard from him.
Reported by dubious sources. At the time of the war, he fought in Jackson's army and afterwards under Hood, where he arose to be a colonel. When Lee laid down his arms, my uncle returned to his plantation, where he remained for 3 or 4 years. His uncle is probably racist.
All uncles were racist back in that time.
About 1869 or 1870, he came back to Europe and took a small estate in Sussex near Horsham. He had made a very considerable fortune in the States and...
racist term?
If I want to say this. And his reason for leaving them was his aversion to, black people.
Mm-hmm.
And his dislike of the Republican policy in extending the franchise to them.
Oh, boy.
He was a singular
brother.
Man. Fierce and quick-tempered, very foul-mouthed when he was angry, and of a most retiring disposition. During all of the years that he lived at Horsham, I doubt if he ever set foot in the town. He had a garden and 2 or 3 fields around his house, and there he would take his exercise, though very often for weeks on end, he would never leave his room. He drank a great deal of brandy and smoked very heavily, but he would see no society and did not want any friends,
Good. Not
even his own brother.
Fuck you. We don't want you in society.
Honestly,
fuck up.
Like, just, he doesn't have to leave his house.
Yeah.
That's
just
fine.
Walk around your dumb little racist field.
He didn't mind me. In fact, he took a fancy to me, for at the time when he first saw me, I
appeared white.
I was a white youngster of 12 or so. This would be in the year 1878, after he'd been 8 or 9 years in England. He begged my father to let me live with him, and he was very kind to me in his way. When he was sober, he used to be fond of playing backgammon and drafts with me.
And he would make me his representative, both with the servants and with the tradespeople, so that by the time I was 16, I was quite master of the house. I kept all the keys and could go where I liked and do what I liked, so long as I did not disturb him in his privacy.
I had all the keys. What a great bragging.
I know. I had all the keys.
I had all the keys. Like the cabinets. Like all the keys.
Like I can like I can open like, the garden gate. Like
hey, think of a key. I had it. Like you
like,
can't
name
even
a room.
Think
name
of
room.
It. Name a room.
Name a room.
Name a room.
Like the living room?
Had it.
Oh, okay. Great.
All the doors locked, by the way. So we had 67 keys.
Do you want to see them? I have them on me.
Oh, they're not really coming out. kind of caught in your pocket.
Hang on, just a second. It's because I have all of them.
Okay, well, I gotta go. This is a great.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of time.
Let's hang later.
No.
Fair.
I agree.
I know who I am.
I know.
I know what this is.
There was one singular exception, however, for he had a single room. A lumber room up among the attics.
Oh, he didn't have all
this
the keys. Now did
scary
he?
Scary get out scary, stasis yeah. right here.
Which was invariably locked, and which he would never permit either me or anyone else to enter. With a boy's curiosity, I have peeped through the keyhole, but I was never able to see more than a collection of old trunks and bundles, as would be expected in such a room.
And I had a girl's disinterest, so I stopped looking.
One day, it was March 1883. A letter with a foreign stamp lay upon the table in front of the colonel's plate. It was not a common thing for him to receive letters, for his bills were all paid in ready money, and he had no friends of any sort.
I cannot stress this enough.
Like, nobody liked
People
him.
People hated my uncle.
Yeah.
Nobody
they
liked him.
Hated him. If you'd met him, you'd hate him.
From India, he said as he took it up. Pondicherry postmark! What can this be? Opening it hurriedly, out there jumped 5 little dried orange pips, which pattered down on his plate. I began to laugh at this.
Hey, wait, the pips.
Wait, so I'm sorry. What are pips?
No idea.
Okay, great.
Seats. Little seats, right?
Oh,
okay. No, am I wrong?
You're probably
I
right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
are they dried orange seeds?
Yes.
I'm gonna give
you that. Oh, yes. Oh, and I'll explain why with what I believe to be another public domain property.
Okay.
Great Expectations. Pip is named Pip because he goes from being a little seed of a boy to a man. But his name doesn't change to tree, so I don't think that analysis actually holds up. But that's why he's called
Pip. Who is coming with the literary knowledge?
All right, everyone, attention. Omar's read Great Expectations.
Listen, International Baccalaureate High School, San Jose High Academy.
Hey, she's also IB.
I went to an International Baccalaureate.
Oh my gosh, we have to talk about this later.
Let's talk about everything.
Oh my God, this is actually a huge deal.
Oh my God, I really can't wait.
This is really exciting.
Let's talk about it now. I looked it up, sorry. Seed in a fruit.
Oh yeah. My God. Okay, right. So there's seeds. Okay, which pattered down upon his plate. I began to laugh at this, but the laugh was struck from my lips at the sight of his face.
Oh no, is it? What is it?
His lip had fallen. His
off.
Eyes.
Literally?
Were...
This became the ghost next door. The Goosebumps book.
His eyes were protruding, his skin the color of putty, and he glared at the envelope, which he still held in his trembling hand. KKK!
Oh,
shrieked.
What?
Oh, I thought he was going to say Rita. I thought it was going to be like a Power Rangers thing.
No,
nope.
No.
I thought he was literally just a putty.
Nope.
All right.
KKK like the Ku Klux Klan?
K.K.
Wow.
He shrieked. And then, my God, my sins have overtaken me.
Good.
What is it, uncle?
Yeah, about time.
I cried.
Come up, Vince, motherfucker.
Death, said he. And rising from the table, he retired to his room, leaving me palpitating with horror.
Horror.
Okay, guys.
It was horrifying.
I took up the envelope and saw scrawled in red ink upon the inner flap, just above the gum, the letter K 3 times repeated. There was nothing else save the 5 dried pips. What could be the reason of his overpowering terror? I left the breakfast table, and as I descended the stair, I met him coming down with an old rusty key, which must
an
have
belonged
which must have belonged to the attic in one hand, and a small brass box, like a cash box, in the other.
And I was like, gotta have that key.
I got it, yeah. A key I didn't have? Oh God, but I'm so close to finishing my collection.
key I don't have.
He's like drooling with anticipation on this key.
Oh, the rusty key. Oh, they released that in 86. Oh, God. That was a limited edition. Oh, God.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
gotta get that key.
And he's literally, all that's just, he's saying it and like standing so still and his hands are so clenched. He's like, and he's sweating.
I'm gonna get it.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Wait, I can't wait.
Everyone at the key club is gonna freak out.
Mick can just freak out. With limited edition rust cover? They may do what they like, but I'll checkmate them still, said he with an oath. Tell Mary that I shall want a fire in my room today and send down to Fordham the Horsham lawyer.
And I need 5 crosses.
7 bushels of garlic.
Oh, I meant to burn.
And you meant to cook.
Unrelated. He loves Italian food and is really scared of vampires. He's like, unrelated. Get me spaghetti.
This has nothing to do with anything. Don't overthink it. But
fresh oregano.
I did as he ordered. And when the lawyer arrived, I was asked to step up to the room. The fire was burning brightly, and in the grate, there was a mass of black fluffy ashes, as of burned paper, while the brass box stood open and empty beside it. As I glanced at the box, I noticed with a start that upon the lid, the printed treble K, which I had read in the morning, upon the envelope. I wish you, John, said my uncle, to witness my will.
I am Jor-El.
I leave my estate with all its advantages and all its disadvantages to my brother, your father, whence it will no doubt descend to you.
Mean? He said disadvantages.
Mean. If you can enjoy it in peace, well and good. If you find you cannot, take my advice, my boy, and leave it to your deadliest enemy.
Well, then why are you leaving it to me right now, yeah, you also, dick?
Like, why even, like, he'll make that decision. You don't have to tell him, like,
yeah. No.
If you, also, like,
why are you going to be like, okay, I'm going to die. Mm. I'm going to leave this to you.
Yeah.
But if you can't deal, give it over to the person you hate the most.
Yeah.
Be like, wait a tick.
Yeah.
Do you hate me? Do you hate me? Am I the deadliest enemy?
I am sorry to give you such a two-edged thing, but I can't say what turn things are going to take. Kindly sign the paper where Mr. Fordham shows you. I signed the paper
like
as
now?
Directed. Right now. The lawyer's there. Damn. And the lawyer took it away with him. The singular incident made, as you may think, the deepest impression upon me. And I pondered over it and turned it every way in my mind without being able to make anything of it. Yet I could not shake off the vague feeling of dread which it left behind. Though the sensation grew less keen as the weeks passed and nothing happened to disturb the usual routine of our lives. I could see a change in my uncle, however. He drank more than ever, and he was less inclined for any sort of society. Most of his time he would spend in his room with the door locked upon the outside, but sometimes he would emerge in a sort of drunken frenzy and would burst out of the house and tear about the garden with a revolver in his hand, screaming out that he was afraid of no man, that he was not to be cooped up like a sheep in a pen by man or devil. When these hot fits were over, however, he would rush tumultuously in at the door and lock it and bar it behind him, like a man who can brazen it out no longer against the terror which lies at the roots of his soul. At such times, I have seen his face, even on a cold day, glisten with moisture, as though it were new raised from a basin. Dude, this guy is sweating tremendously.
Bullet.
That's unhealthy.
No, it's so wet.
He's losing salt.
No, he needs to drink Gatorade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to get those electrolytes back in his body.
Replenish. Get some tabs.
Well, to come to an end of the matter, Mr. Holmes, and not to abuse your patience, there came a night when he made one of those drunken sallies from which he never came back. We found him, and when we went to search for him, face downward in a little green-scummed pool which lay at the foot of the garden. There was no sign of any violence, and the water was but 2 feet deep, so that the jury, having regard to his known eccentricity, brought in a verdict of suicide. But I, who knew how he winced from the very thought of death, had much ado to persuade myself that he had gone out of his way to meet it. The matter passed, however, and my father entered into possession of the estate. and of some 14,000 pounds, which lay to his credit at the bank. One moment, Holmes interposed.
Oh, I forgot about Holmes.
Your statement is, I foresee, one of the most remarkable to which I have ever listened. Let me have
you
the date.
You have failed miserably. I have heard many such remarkable tales.
Let me have the date of the reception by your uncle of the letter and the date of his supposed suicide. The letter arrived on March 10th, 1883. His death was 7 weeks later upon the night of May 2nd. Thank you. Pray proceed.
When you may continue. I hate the lot that I have chosen for myself in life.
Your father's story of solitary life resonates with me.
I wanted to be a dancer.
I convinced the old lady to go skip out on town.
I was reading this wet book.
And I'm scared.
It's hella wet, bro.
When my father took over the Horsham property, he, at my request, made a careful examination of the attic, which had always been locked up. We found the brass box there, although its contents had been destroyed. On the inside of the cover was a paper label with the initials of KKK repeated upon it, and letters, memoranda, receipts, and a register written beneath.
Like, maybe it's not the KKK,
yeah,
but maybe it is, and British people seriously hadn't heard of the KKK yet. And so I would really laugh at the end of this episode. It was just the KKK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming to get him.
I feel like
it's
maybe...
anticlimactic for modern Americans.
Sherlock is like, I think I've put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's this widely known hate organization.
Yeah.
That's
in
known
the United
for
States.
Killing people.
That sprung up after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish your racist uncle would have encountered.
Who lived in the South and then ran away and came to England again. I don't know.
It's like maybe at the time it was like, nobody leaves the KKK.
Oh, maybe it was like one of those things. Yeah.
I truly don't know, but
we'll find out. It could also just be like Karen's Karma Collective or something.
Kimporium.
Yeah.
Kimporium.
We have all sorts of karma.
Good karma, bad karma, karma, medium.
You didn't pay for the pips. We'll drown you.
These, we presume, indicated by the nature of the papers which had been destroyed by Colonel Openshaw. For the rest, there was nothing of much importance in the attic save a great many scattered papers and notebooks bearing upon my uncle's life in America. Some of them were of the wartime and showed that he had done his duty well and had borne the repute of a brave soldier. Others were of a date during the Reconstruction of the Southern States and were mostly concerned with politics, for he had evidently taken a strong part in opposing the carpetbag politicians who had been sent down from the North.
Shocker.
That's not.
Yeah, we're not surprised. We kind of saw that coming. Well, it was the beginning of 84 when my father came to live at Horsham. And
Lindsay Kate, I had been alive for 2 years.
And all went as well as possible with us until the January of 85. Lindsay Kaitai was then alive for 3 years.
Oh, my sister wasn't born yet.
Whoa.
Later that year.
Duran was on tour.
Top in the charts. On tour.
On the fourth day after the new year, I heard my father give a sharp cry of surprise as we sat together at the breakfast table. There he was, sitting with a newly opened envelope in one hand and five dried orange pips in the outstretched palm of the other one.
He had always laughed at what he called my cock and bull story about the colonel, but he looked very scared and puzzled now that the same thing had come upon himself. Why, what on earth does this mean, John? He stammered. My heart turned to lead. It is K, 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 said I. He looked inside the envelope. So it is, he cried. Here are the very letters, but what is this written above them? Put the papers on the sundial, I read, peeping over his shoulders.
Wait, why?
Sorry.
What does he know that
we want to know what the time is.
Sorry. That's what it said in the letters.
Okay.
Put the papers on the sundial, I read, peeping over his shoulders.
Okay. I see.
I misread.
Okay.
What papers? What sundial? He asked. The sundial in the garden. There is no other, said I. but the papers must be those that are destroyed. Pooh, he said.
Pooh,
said he.
Pooh.
Pooh, said he, gripping hard at his courage. We are in a civilized land here, and we can't have tomfoolery of this kind. Where does the thing come from? From Dundee, I answered, glancing at the postmark. Some preposterous practical joke, said he. What have I to do with sundials and papers? I shall take no notice of such nonsense.
I've mailed stuff to Australia before. That's not a, that's a expensive prank.
Yeah.
That's a $70 prank.
Yeah, no, also, it's so expensive.
Like, boats are all yeah. they have.
Yeah. So it's like, you are putting this in motion years in advance. Like, you're like, I will give this letter into this boat and hope that it, by 85 it'll get.
Lindsay has just been born.
Yeah.
Maybe when she's three.
Find a 3-year-old Lindsay Kater. Look in Reno. I should certainly speak to the police, I said, and be laughed at for my pains. Nothing of the sort. Then let me do so. No, I forbid you. I won't have a fuss made about such nonsense. It was vain to argue with him, for he was a very obstinate man. I went about, however, with a heart which was full of forebodings. On the third day after the coming of the letter, my father went from home to visit an old friend of his, Major Freebody.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Major Freebody.
I love that cartoon that played with Rocky and Bullwinkle. Who is in command of one of the forts upon Portsdown Hill. I was glad that he should go, for it seemed to me that he was farther from danger when he was away from home. In that, however, I was in error. Upon the second day of his absence, I received a telegram from the major imploring me to come at once. My father had fallen over one of the deep chalk pits which abound in the neighborhood and was lying senseless with a shattered skull.
Is he dead?
Shattered skull, Kelly.
I mean, senseless.
I mean. I don't got no sense. I hit my head so hard.
I lost all my senses.
Oh, no. Father.
Father.
Ah. I can't.
Pooh.
I hurried to him, but he passed away without having ever recovered his consciousness.
Oh my God.
Dang.
He had, as it appears, been returning from Fareham in the twilight. And as the country was unknown to him and the chalk pit unfenced, the jury had no hesitation in bringing a verdict of death from accidental causes.
No. Mm. Again, I don't.
Lazy jury.
They're like, I got lunch to get.
We all know that it's the jury's job to go to the scene of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Investigate.
Yes. Yep.
Collect evidence.
Yep. Correct.
Interview suspects.
Yep. Yeah.
Find a suspect.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Kill the suspect.
Correct.
Yep. Bury the suspect.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to decide which among them was most culpable for the suspect's death.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kill that person.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've seen John Cusack movies.
Yeah.
You were a lawyer. You get it.
Yeah.
You guys are just singing this while this man is like, my father died in a chalk pit.
You know LCD sound system. Okay. Carefully, as I examined every fact connected with his death, I was unable to find anything which could suggest the idea of murder. There were no signs of violence, no footmarks, no robbery, no record of strangers having been seen upon the roads. And yet I need not tell you that my mind was far from at ease, and that I was well nigh certain that some foul plot had been woven round him. In this sinister way I came into my inheritance. You will ask me why I did not dispose of it? I answer, because I was well convinced that our troubles were in some way dependent upon an incident in my uncle's life, and that the danger would be as pressing in one house as in another. It was January 85 that my poor father met his end, and 2 years and 8 months have elapsed since then. During that time, I have lived happily at Horsham, and I had begun to hope that this curse had passed away from the family.
Wait, so it's Horsham that they're passing around?
Yeah.
It's the house?
They keep going to the house. The sundial house.
Yep.
The sundial house. And then no one's putting the papers on the sundial.
Because they got burned.
That's right. They're already burned. What can they
fucking
do?
Fucking dumbass. Just give the papers. What's your fucking problem? You dead uncle. You dead racist uncle.
Yeah.
I had begun to hope that this curse had passed away from the family and that it had ended with the last generation. I had begun to take comfort too soon, however. Yesterday morning, the blow fell in the very shape in which it had come upon my father. The young man took from his waistcoat a crumpled envelope.
No.
And turning to the table, you guessed it, he shook out upon it five little dried orange pips.
Oh, God.
It's these things.
Pips.
These small things.
You might call them seeds.
I call them pips. Because I think it's cuter.
Pips, I say. Like,
I laugh in the face of death.
Pips.
Five pips. Would you like to see my Sherlock Holmes puppet? I'm Sherlock Holmes. These are five pips. Count them, kids. One, two,
three, four, five. Five
orange pips.
Great job. You're my best friends. Watson comes out. But what about me? I'm scared and alone.
Sorry, bye. This is the envelope, he continued. The postmark is London, Eastern Division. Mm. Within are the very words which were upon my father's last message. K-K-K. And then put the papers on the sundial.
What have you done? Asked
Nothing.
Nothing.
To tell the truth, he sank his face into his thin white hands.
Oh, so beautiful.
So pretty.
Thin. Thin. Such thin hands.
Such thin hands.
He sank
hands.
His face into his thin white hands.
Like the ghost of a horse neigh.
I felt helpless. I felt like one of those poor rabbits when the snake is writhing toward it. I seemed to be in the grasp of some resistless, inexorable evil, which no foresight and no precautions can guard against.
Tut, tut, cried Sherlock Holmes. It looks like rain.
Wait, even it looks like rain?
No. You know, tut, tut, it looks like rain.
Oh, I don't know
Winnie
the second part. Oh.
Oh.
He's quoting Winnie the Pooh.
Christopher Robin is walking around with an umbrella, pretending that the mud falling off of Winnie the Pooh is raindrops to distract the bees from their honey. Tut, tut, it looks like rain.
So that's cool that Sherlock Holmes is telling this
guy.
Going,
tut, tut, have you heard, did you see that animated movie of
my favorite movie is Winnie the Pooh.
Sterling Holloway does the voice.
It seems like I would relate most to Eeyore, but to your surprise and also mine, I relate most to Tigger because of my just joyful personality.
Second, Roo. You must act, man, or you are lost. Nothing but energy can save you. This is no time for despair.
I have seen the police.
Ah.
My job's done. Good night.
But they listened to my story with a smile. I am convinced that the inspector has formed the opinion that the letters are all practical jokes and that the deaths of my relations were really accidents, as the jury stated, and were not to be connected with the warnings.
I don't see how you could not think
that's weird.
That, like, both these people had, like, accidents, but also received, like, seeds in the mail.
And, like, burning shit.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. I think it's just the jury didn't do their job.
They should have buried that corpse.
Should have buried that corpse.
Should have buried that corpse.
Holmes shook his clenched hands in the air. Incredible imbecility, he cried.
They have, however, allowed me a policeman. I'm glad Sherlock agrees with us.
Yeah.
Allowed me a policeman who may remain in the house with me.
Has he come with you tonight?
No, his orders were to stay in the house. Again, Holmes raved in the air.
Why did you come to me? He cried. And above all, why did you not come to me at once?
It's getting weird. I'm trying to keep it up, but it's getting weird.
Hold on, so wait. So he's mad. He's like, why did you come to me? But firstly, why didn't you come to me at once?
Why,
Well, he's like, bitch, you left without your guard.
Oh, I see.
P.S. Going to the police was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because they don't know shit.
Should've Scotland talked. Yard yeah. is Scotland always Yard. Knocking on Baker Street's door.
Because Baker Street got the goods.
That's a Baker Street joke. Anyway. It's a song. I did not know. It was only today that I spoke to Major Prendergast. Ugh, these R's, I tell you. Prendergast about my troubles and was advised by him to come to you.
It is really 2 days since you had the letter. We should have acted before this. You have no further evidence, I suppose, than that which you have placed before us. No suggestive detail which might help us.
There is one thing, said John Openshaw. He rummaged in his coat pocket, and drawing out a piece of discolored blue-tinted paper, he laid it out upon the table. I have some remembrance, said he, that on the day when my uncle burned the papers, I observed that the small unburned margins which lay amid the ashes were of this particular color. I found this single sheet upon the floor of his room, and I am inclined to think that it may be one of the papers which has, perhaps, fluttered out from among the others, and in that way has escaped destruction. Beyond the mention of Pips, I do not see that it helps us much. I think myself that it is a page from some private diary. The writing is undoubtedly my uncle's. To interrupt myself.
Uh-huh.
Why wouldn't you have brought that up earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, lead with
why
that.
Why wasn't that part yeah. of the talk?
Do you have any other evidence? No.
No.
Except evidence.
Except like, this piece of evidence.
Except, like, a lot. Like, something that will help a lot.
I mean, in Sherlock Holmes, you know, he's going to gobble this up.
He's like,
he's going to be like, oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, my God, please give it to me.
Please. Oh, I must touch it. Blue.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a seductive shade of blue.
Oh, it shimmers.
Oh,
it shimmers.
Oh, I touched your hand when I reached for it. There is something electric between us.
Oh, God, it's blue like the ocean. And then Watson's like, the ocean, like your eyes.
Water. This story is so wet. Are you guys still talking? Holmes moved the lamp and we both bent over the sheet of paper, which showed by its ragged edge.
Yeah,
together. Ragged edge that it had indeed been torn from a book. It was headed March 1869, and beneath were the following enigmatical notices. 4th, Hudson came, same old platform. 7th, set the pips on Macaulay, Paramore, and John Swain of St. Augustine. 9th, Macaulay cleared. 10th, John Swain cleared. 12th, visited Paramore, all well.
Okay, here's what I think. Mm-hmm. I think when you set the pips on somebody,
yes. Uh-huh.
The pips are people, but they're also seeds. And I think you like...
And from the seeds, people grow.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you mail the seeds to people to tell them, like, hey, you better do what you're supposed to do. And if they're not doing it, then they get killed by the people pips.
Yep.
That's what I think. And he was involved in that, and that's how he knew what the pips meant when he received it. Because he wanted out. I think you're right. I think it is you can't leave the KKK.
Once a pip, always a pip.
Yeah.
Don't break up the group, man. We're going straight to the top of the charts. It's 82.
82.
Sorry, it's 85. I forgot. Oh, sorry. 69.
Oh, God.
Ow.
69.
Thank you, said Holmes, folding up the paper and returning it to our visitor. And now you must on no account lose another instant. We cannot spare time.
Whoa, he's turning Russian. I told you it was going to be embarrassing if it got to me.
Time.
It is fucking amazing that it has sounded similar for this long.
My pal, Mr. Lloyd.
Mr. Lloyd. I recorded a voice for Infinity Train, and they were goading me into doing an accent, even though no accent was needed because they know I'm so terrible at them. And by the end of it, it sounded like this. I do not know how you propose to get to. It was embarrassing. They told me to do an Italian accent. That's how it sounded.
I don't mind if he
hit
turns
Russian.
Here we go. Okay. No, I'm just trying to get back into it.
Think of like.
Now I'm laughing.
Robert Durst. That's what I was channeling. What, two people can't spell Beverly wrong? It's in all capital letters.
All right, I'll try. And now you must on no account lose another instant. We cannot spare time even to discuss what you have told me. You must get home instantly and act. What shall I do? There is but one thing to do. It must be done at once. You must put this piece of paper which you have shown us into the brass box which you have... I'm laughing too much. Described...
Describe.
You must also put in a note to say that all the other papers were burned by your uncle and that this is the only one which remains. You must assert that in such words as will carry conviction with them. Having done this, you must at once put the box out upon the sundial as directed. Do you understand?
Entirely.
Do not think of revenge.
I kind of don't understand.
I totally don't understand. Wait,
so
but we're not
doing?
Supposed to.
He's
that's a
papers?
Herlock. That's a Herlock Sholmes story.
Okay. Wait, so he wants him to put papers in a box?
Speaking, it's very ironic. I do podcasts.
So he's supposed to put papers in a box and put it on the sundial?
And just yeah, like, here
he's
you
supposed
go.
To just be
and
like,
that's like
yeah,
the drop off point.
There you go, buddy.
We lost a bunch of them, but hopefully this will do.
Okay. Like, but yeah, the papers are like Saws. The deed to the house or like secrets.
No, it's this paper.
Oh, the one blue that paper. Says,
like, yeah.
Here's all the people we checked in on.
Yeah. So it's like all of his diaries.
Oh.
He burned them real quick, missed this little one. And Holmes is like, we'll put that little one in the box.
Okay.
Put it on the
Tell
sundial.
Them with great
Tell
conviction.
Tell them with great conviction that okay. it is done.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we may gain by that means of the law, but we have our web to weave while theirs is already woven. The first consideration is to remove the pressing danger which threatens you. The second is to clear up the mystery and to punish the guilty parties. I thank you, said the young man, rising and pulling on his overcoat.
Oh,
rising.
Wow.
You have given me fresh life and hope. I shall certainly do as you advise. Do not lose an instant. And above all, take care of yourself in the meanwhile.
Take care of yourself with the...
Hey.
Buy yourself something nice.
Here, have this. Have this pip.
Chew on this pip for me.
Chew on this pip. You know how to get in touch with me. Just put this pip in your mouth and whistle. For I do not think that there can be a doubt that you are threatened by a very real and imminent danger. How do you go back?
By train from Waterloo.
It is not yet 9. The streets will be crowded, so I trust that you may be in safety. And yet you cannot guard yourself too closely.
I am armed.
That is well.
Great.
Tomorrow I shall set to work upon your case.
Tomorrow? I thought we had no time to lose.
Yeah,
why doesn't
he
just do it now?
I just got that police officer, I guess.
It's going to be 9 soon.
I am tired.
It's going to be like the best rain. I don't want to miss the best rain.
I promised Watson we would have sex tonight.
And Watson's like, I'm scared.
This boat book. This boat book's a lot.
Boat book, I'm too
wet.
Scared now. I'm too wet and scared.
I'm too wet. Holmes.
I shall see you at Horsham then?
No, your secret lies in London. It is there that I shall seek it.
What? Then I shall call upon you in a day or in 2 days with news as to the box and the papers. I shall take your advice in every particular. He shook hands with us and took his leave. Outside, the wind still screamed and the rain splashed and pattered against the windows.
Help! So wet!
This strange, wild story seemed to have come to us from amid the mad elements, blown in upon us like a sheet of seaweed in a gale, and now to have been reabsorbed by them once more.
I'm so scared of the rain.
Sherlock Holmes sat for some time in silence, with his head sunk forward and his eyes bent upon the red glow of the fire. Then he lit his pipe, and leaning back in his chair, he watched the blue smoke rings as they chased each other up to the ceiling.
I think, Watson, he remarked at last, that of all our cases, we have had none more fantastic than this.
Save, perhaps, the sign of 4.
Well, yes.
Man, you know, they have such an exciting relationship.
Save, perhaps, in that... And yet this John Openshaw seems to be walking amid even greater perils than did the Sholtos.
But have you, I asked, formed any definite conception as to what these perils are?
There can be no question as to their nature, he answered.
Then what are they? Who is this KKK? And why does he pursue this unhappy family?
That they do not know who this is.
What's embarrassing is that I have to read the bulk of Sherlock Holmes doing this fucking voice.
I'm sorry I set this up.
Maybe I'll just... No, we've started it. I will finish it.
Okay, good, good, good.
Okay.
Sherlock Holmes closed his eyes and placed his elbows upon the arm of his chair with his fingertips together.
He talks so much right now. The ideal reasoner, he remarked, would, when he had once been shown a single fact in all its bearings... deduce from it not only all the chain of events which led up to it, but also all the results which would follow from it.
He doesn't have to explain that part.
No, Holmes is so fucking patronizing.
Yeah, he's so, like...
The facts, the ideal reasoner. I'm no jerk. As Cuvier could correctly describe a whole animal by the contemplation of a single bone,
So the observer who has thoroughly understood one link in a series of incidents should be able to accurately state all the other ones before and after. We have not yet grasped the results which the reason alone can attain to. Just, this is the absolute best voice to fucking zonk out on this story to. Problems may be solved in this study which have baffled all those who have sought a solution by the aid of their senses.
What is he talking about?
I have no idea.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
So far, it's just like, you know how you can tell an animal from a bone? That's as far as we've got. Like, that entire time, we're just like,
he is describing, like, I'm waxing poetic on the greatest possible reasoner. They should be able to do the following. I'm a douche.
Also, like, we don't need to know that
Get to the fucking case. It is not so impossible, however, that a man should possess all knowledge which is likely to be useful to him in his work. And this I have endeavored to, in my case, to do. If I remember rightly, you on one occasion in the early days of our friendship defined my limits in a very precise fashion. Yes, I answered, laughing. It was a singular document. Philosophy.
I'm not sure why he's
laughing. Is this the reaction I was supposed to have?
You're right. That was great.
I remember. This was a me moment. Let's relive it. Philosophy, astronomy, and politics were marked at zero, I remember. Botany, variable. Geology, profound as regards the mud stains from any region within 50 miles of town. Chemistry, eccentric. Anatomy, unsystematic.
Oh my God, what?
So I don't know.
I am the very model of a and a mineral.
And a mineral. Sensational literature and crime records unique. Violin player, boxer, swordsman. These are all praises of Holmes, aren't
yeah,
they?
He's yeah, he's just like, this is the one pager.
Oh my God. He's like, you're everything, Holmes.
Like, he is just like coming in his pants while he says this.
It's
violin
so long.
Player, boxer, swordsman, lawyer, and self-poisoner by cocaine and tobacco. Those, I think, were the main points of my analysis.
Way to bury the lead.
Yeah. He kind of slips in the self-poisoner thing.
So fucking, oh, God, everything about you.
He's like, you have a problem, so like, you I mean, we should everything. Talk about that.
Also, you have a coke problem. Holmes grinned at this last item. Well, he said, I say now, as I said then, that a man should keep his little brain attic stocked with all the furniture that he is likely to use.
When he's not on coke, he is so much slower than this.
Oh my God.
So much slower energy.
An where he can
an object at rest.
An ottoman.
And bowl of walnut. Walnut cracker. Hummel figure.
I'm figuring it out. Give me a second.
These are all the things in my head. Now for such a case as the one which has been submitted to us tonight, we need certainly to muster.
He's just getting to this.
I maybe should start speaking. I'll see if I can speak faster. Need certainly to muster all of our resources. Kindly hand me down the letter K of the American Encyclopedia, which stands upon this shelf beside you. Thank you. Now let us consider the situation and see what may be deduced from it. In the first place, we may start with a strong presumption that Colonel Openshaw has some very strong reasons for leaving America. Men at this time of life do not change all their habits in exchange willingly the charming climate of Florida.
Wait, so he's literally having to look up KKK in the encyclopedia? This is like the height of deductive reasoning.
Read a book, Holmes. First, have you not heard of the KKK yet?
Seriously, he's like, first we will consult the trusty Encyclopedia Britannica.
First, we have the letter K.
What is a kangaroo, you may ask? That is a question for another day. Let's keep turning.
The mud on your shoes is from Liverpool. I wasn't aware Ohio is a state.
Like that's
the mud on your shoes is from Liverpool. And hold a moment while I get my Encyclopedia Britannica.
To look up ocean. Ocean.
What is a shoe if not a bit of leather bound to a sole? Hold on one moment. His extreme love of solitude in England suggests the idea that he was in fear of someone or something, so we may assume as a working hypothesis that it was fear of someone or something which drove him from America.
Okay.
As to what he was feared, we can only deduce that by considering the formidable letters which were received by himself and his successors. Did you remark the postmarks on those letters?
You?
The first was from Pondicherry, the second from Dundee, and the third from London. He's from London. What do you do from that?
Your face is from London. The letters they came in the mail.
It was the East front. They're all seaports. That the writer was on board of a ship? Excellent. We already have a clue. There can be no doubt that the probability of the strong probability is that the...
This is my favorite iteration of Sherlock Holmes I've ever heard in my life.
We've reached him. We found him.
The apex of Sherlock is that the writer was on board of the ship. No.
What is the ship, you may ask? Please fetch me.
The S book.
The S book of
not the S book, the SH book.
Oh, those are separate
because there's so many.
Seaboat. Oh, great. Now I gotta get the B.
Oh, B. We're gonna be here for hours.
But how does it float?
Oh, wait.
Look up F.
It says sailboat back to the S.
Sailboat.
What is a sailboat, you ask? Time to consult the Oxford English Dictionary.
Okay.
In this case of Pondicherry, 7 weeks elapsed between the threat and its fulfillment. And the idea was only 3 or 4 days. Does this suggest anything?
A greater distance to travel.
Oh. But the latter had also a greater distance to come.
Then I do not see the point.
There is at least a presumption that the vessel in which the man or men is a sailing ship. It looks as though they always send their singular warnings a token before them when starting.
I do not understand what he's saying.
I'm getting it. I got it.
What is it?
I got it. So they're sending the stuff ahead of time. And that's the clue, is that they send it before they get there. And sometimes... letters take longer to go to places.
Oh, then the person sending.
Uh-huh.
I see. Did you not understand that?
Was your book too wet?
Speak slower.
I'm sorry, I'm on a lot of coke right now.
But I also took it down. Is this what happened? You see how quickly the deed followed the sign from when it came from Dundee. If they had come from Pondicherry in a steamer, they would have arrived almost as soon as the letter. But as a matter of fact, 7 weeks elapsed. I think that those 7 weeks represent the difference between the mail boat we brought the letter and the sailing vessel we brought the writer.
It is possible.
So the mail boat went faster
than the person.
And my theory, I'm probably wrong, is it's because envelopes are lighter than people.
Wait, so you think...
According to Newton.
If you look up envelope in the Encyclopedia Britannica, it says...
It's time to get the
lighter
E.
than humans. Wait, so, okay. So you think that in a mail boat... Because they only put 500 of anything on a boat.
Exactly.
So they put 500 letters on a boat, and they put 500 people on a boat.
Exactly.
The letters are going to go faster.
The people in the back.
I'll read this as me again.
Okay.
You see how quickly the deed followed the sign when it came from Dundee.
Okay.
If they had come from Pondicherry in a steamer, they would have arrived almost as soon as their letter. But, as a matter of fact, 7 weeks elapsed. I think that those 7 weeks represented the difference between the mail boat, which brought the letter, and the sailing vessel, which brought the writer.
Ah, sailing vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Sailboat.
Let's get the S again.
It is possible. More than that is probable.
And now you see the deadly urgency of this new case and why I urge young Openshaw to caution. The blow is always fallen at the end of the time. Wish it would take the senders to travel the distance. But this one comes from London, and therefore we cannot count upon delay.
And it's Omar's turn.
Oh, wow.
Start with good God.
Good God.
Good God, I cried. What can it mean, this relentless persecution? The papers which Openshaw carried are obviously of vital importance to the person or persons in the sailing ship. I think that it is quite clear that there must be more than... This is hard. This is a lot harder
really
than it
fucking hard.
More than one of them. A single man could not have carried out two deaths in such a way as to deceive a coroner's jury. There must have been several in it. They may have been men of resources and determination. The papers they mean to have, be the holder of them who it may.
It's
like he's reading a law. Fucking a law. Book. What? Case? Book? Yes.
And we're about to get, I think, here we go.
All right.
In this way, you see the KKK ceases to be the initials of an individual and become the badge of a society.
Okay.
Welcome
him
to 5 hours ago.
Do you now see how he went from bones to the obvious option?
Wait, did he not say that?
No, that's me. That's me. Sorry. Sorry. I'll stay.
Oh my God.
But of what society? Have you never, said Sherlock Holmes, bending forward and sinking his voice, have you never heard of the Ku Klux Klan? I never have.
Oh. What? I'm too busy reading terrifying books about the ocean.
Ah, that could be scary.
It's just like we could have saved so much time.
Oh my goodness. He made him go and fetch the encyclopedia just to make him feel like shit about not having heard of it. Okay, Watson, now open to the K section.
Oh boy. Okay, we're coming up on a thing.
You can...
Just don't say
skip
the word.
Skip words you don't want to say.
Oh, no, that's, okay. And I will, thank you for that. Okay. But they open the encyclopedia in a second.
Oh, God.
Fuck yes.
So I'll ask you a question in just a second to both of you.
Okay.
Holmes turned over the leaves of the book upon his knee. Here it is, said he presently. And now I can either read this as Holmes reading it out loud or a helpful encyclopedia voice.
What do you think, Lindsay? Do you think he's reading it out loud?
Here's the thing, is that we know what the KKK is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want to hear Holmes say it.
Okay,
and
great.
I want to picture him, too. He's, like, whispering this into Watson's ear.
Yeah.
And also, like,
come over here.
Treating him like a dumb idiot child.
come sit over here.
One
now.
Book on one knee, Sam one Papa Watson Holmes. On the other knee.
Watson, I'll let you turn the page when I say turn.
My favorite kind of evening.
My favorite Watson on my favorite evening.
Here it is, said he presently. Ku Klux Klan, a name derived from the fanciful resemblance to the sound produced by cocking a rifle. This terrible secret society was formed by some ex-Confederate soldiers in the southern states after the Civil War, and they rapidly formed local branches in different parts of the country, notably in Tennessee, Louisiana, and the Carolinas, Georgia, and Florida. Its power was used for political purposes, principally for the terrorizing of the black voters and the murdering and driving of the country of those who were opposed to its views. Its outrages were usually preceded by a warning sent to the mocked man in some fantastical but generally recognized shape, a sprig of oak leaves and some parts of melon seed to orange pips and others. Orange pips.
Orange pips? Wait, what was
okay,
the orange pips connection?
Read that sentence.
Okay,
sorry.
Its
outrages were usually preceded by a warning sent to the marked man in some fantastic but generally recognized shape, a sprig of oak leaves in some parts, melon seeds, or orange pips in others.
Oh, snap.
Okay, why call it a melon seed and then an orange pip question?
Good question.
We need an encyclopedia.
Flip to P.
Get the Y book and flip to why call it melon seeds instead of orange.
It's the biggest one.
Yeah, get the Y book and then try and find that phrase and then think again. And I'll hold on to the W.
Is this the entry just for reals?
Holy shit, I never thought I'd be needed. That's all it says. It gives no explanation.
Whoa, okay.
On receiving this, the victim might either openly observe his former ways or might fly from the country. If he braved the matter, our death would be unflailingly come upon him, and usually in some strange and unforeseen manner. So perfect was the organization of society and so systemic the method that there is hardly a case upon record in which any man succeeded in braving with impunity or at which any of the outrages were traced home to the perpetrators. For some years, the organization flourished in spite of the efforts of the United States government and the better classes of community in the South. Eventually, in the year 1869, the movement rather suddenly collapsed, although there have been sporadic outbreaks of the same sort at that date. You will observe, said Holmes, laying down the volume,
that... Oh, I thought he was laying down.
I'm so tired.
As I ready myself for sleep.
I read an entire Sepia entry.
As he brews the pips.
When you brew something that is not a tea leaf, it is called a tisane. Non-caffeinated beverage suitable for sleep.
You will observe, said Holmes, laying down the volume, that the sudden breaking up of the society was coincident with the disappearance of Openshaw from America with their papers. It might well have been cause and effect. It is no wonder that he and his family have some sort of that implacable spirits upon their track. You can understand that the register and diary may implicate some of the first men in the South, and that there might be many who do not sleep easy at night until it is recovered. Then the pages we have seen is such as we might expect. It ran, if I remember right, sent the pips to A, B, and C. That is, sent society's warnings to them. And then there are successive entries that A and B were cleared and or left the country. And finally that C was visited with, I fear, sinister results for C.
I fear sinister results for C.
Well, I think, Doctor, that we may let some light into this dark place, and I believe the only chance a young Openshaw has in the meantime is to do what I told him. There is nothing more to be said or done tonight, so hand me over my violin. Let us try to forget for half an hour the miserable weather and the still more miserable ways of our fellow men. It had cleared in the morning, and the sun was shining with the subdued brightness through the dim veil which hangs over the great city.
I was finally dry and could live again.
I read my book and I thought, where's the ocean gone?
It's so dry.
Sherlock Holmes was already at breakfast when it came down. You'll excuse me for not waiting for you, said he. I have foresee a very busy day before me in looking into the case of young Openshaw's. What steps will you take? I asked. It will very much depend upon the results of my first inquiries. I may have to go down to Horsham after all. You will not go there first? No, I shall come out to the city. Just ring the bell and the maid will bring up your coffee. As I waited, I lifted the unopened newspaper from the table and glanced my eye over it. It rested upon a heading which sent a chill to my heart. Holmes, I cried. You are too late. Ah, said he, laying down his cup. I feared as much. How was it done? He spoke calmly, but I could see that he was deeply moved. My eye caught the name of Openshaw and the heading, Tragedy Near Waterloo Bridge. Here's the account.
Oh, way to fucking go, Holmes. Why'd you let him go?
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
There is nothing to be done as it is after 9 p.m. and I have to play my violin.
You know that this is my quiet time.
Oh, you're going to hate this.
Oh, no.
Between 9 and 10 last night, Police Constable Cook of the H Division, on duty near Waterloo Bridge, heard a cry for help and a splash in the water. The night, however, was extremely dark and stormy, so that, in spite of the help of several passerby, it was quite impossible to effect a rescue. The alarm, however, was given, and by the aid of the water police, the body was eventually...
The water police?
You know who calls the water police every day? Watson. He's like, water police! There's witness in my book.
Please stop calling us, Mr. Watson.
But there's witness in my butt. Help!
That too.
They're like, you gotta go to a doctor. My butt's wet.
Help! Water police! Help!
811! Help me! Like, you need to stop calling.
Please, sir, this is an emergency line.
This is an emergency water line.
We are trying to help Openshaw right now.
Then we have one of water emergencies.
But my book! My book is so scary and wet! My feet!
It proved to be of that young gentleman whose name, as it appears from an envelope which was found in his pocket, was John Openshaw, and whose residence is near Horsham. It is conjectured that he may have been hurrying down to catch the last train from Waterloo Station.
Oh, my God.
And that in his haste and the extreme darkness, he missed his path and walked over the edge of one small landing.
He was like, I'm going to miss the train!
Is that the train? Is that big expanse of nothing the train?
Wait for me! Splash!
Help, water police!
Over the edge of one of the small landing places for river steamboats. The body exhibited no traces of violence. There can be no doubt that the deceased had been the victim of an unfortunate accident, which should have effect of calling the attention of the authorities to the condition of the riverside landing stages. We sat in silence for some minutes. Holmes more depressed and shaken than I had ever seen him.
Well, yeah, you fucked up.
Yeah, that guy's dead.
Dumbass.
That beautiful, thin-handed man.
You understood the most about what kind of danger he was in. Also, P.S. didn't explain a fucking open shot.
All he did was like, yeah, he was just like, go do this and you'll be fine.
Holmes, or Watson, could you get the encyclopedia down while I explain absolutely every part of this to you?
And play violin while the man drowns. That hurts my pride, Watson, he said at last. It is a petty feeling, no doubt, but it hurts my pride. It becomes a personal matter with me now, and if God sends me health, I shall set upon this gang that he should come from me. He should come to me. He should come to me for help, and that I should send him away to death. He sprang from his chair and paced upon the room in uncontrollable agitation, with a flush upon his sallow cheeks and nervous clasping and unclasping of his long, thin hands.
Oh, long, thin hands. Nice.
They must be cunning devils, he exclaimed at last. How could they have decoyed him down there? The embankment is not on the direct line to the station. The bridge, no doubt, was too crowded, even on such a night for their purpose. Well, Watson, we shall see who will win in the long run. I'm going out now.
I'm going out now.
Some cigarettes.
Do not wait up. I am going out now.
To the police? No, I shall be my own police. When I have spun the web that they may take the flies, but not before. All day I was engaged in my professional work, and it was late in the evening.
What work, you ask? The kind that is professional.
Things professionals do. I made 73 calls to the water police.
My book is dry. Help. Sherlock Holmes had not come back yet. It was nearly 10 o'clock before he entered, looking pale and worn. He walked up to the sideboard, tearing a piece from the loaf. He devoured it voraciously, washing it down with a long draught of water. You are hungry, I remarked. Starving. It escaped my memory. I had nothing since breakfast.
Nothing?
Not a bite. I had no time to think of it. And
so agitated.
Our voices are very different.
And have you succeeded?
Well, have a clue. I have them in the hollow of my hand, young Openshaw shall not long remain on the bench. Why, Watson, let us put their own devilish trademark upon them. It is well thought of.
What do you mean? He took an orange from the cupboard, and tearing it into pieces, he squeezed out the pips upon the table. One of these he took five and thrust into an envelope. On the side of the flap, he wrote S.H. for J.O. Then he sealed it and addressed it to Captain James Calhoun, Bark Lone Star, Savannah, Georgia.
That will await him when he answers for it, said he, chuckling. It may give him a sleepless night. He will find it, sure, a precursor to his fate, as Openshaw did before him.
And who is this Captain Calhoun?
The leader of the gang. I shall have the others by first.
How did you trace it, then? He took a large sheet of paper from his pocket and covered with dates and names.
I spent the whole day, said he, over Lloyd's registers and files of the old papers, following the future career of every vessel which touched in Pondicherry in January, February, in 83. There were 36 ships of fair tonnage. Which were reported there during these months. Of these, one, the Lone Star, instantly attracted my attention, since although it was reported as having cleared from London, the name is that which is given to the State of the Union.
In Texas, I think.
Yeah, I was not sure, and I'm not sure which, but I knew the ship.
must have been an American origin. What then? I searched the Dundee records, and when I found that the Barklone star was there in January 85, my suspicion became certainty. I then inquired as to the vessel, which lay at present in the port of London. Yes? The Lone Star had arrived here last week. I went down to the Albert Dock and found that she had been taken down to the river by early tide this morning. Homeward bound to Savannah. I wired to Gavinsdale, and I learned that she had passed some time ago. And as the wind is easterly, I had no doubt that she is now past the good winds and not very far from the Isle of Wight.
What will you do then?
Oh, I have my hand upon him. He and the two. He and the two mates, as I learned, only dated poor Americans on the ship. Those are Finns and Germans. I know also they were all three away from the ship last night. I had it from this Steve Thor who has been loading their cargo. By the time that the sailing ship reached Savannah, the mail boat will have carried this letter, and the cable will have informed the police of Savannah that these three gentlemen are badly wanted here upon charges of murder.
There is a flaw, however, in the best laid of human plans, and the murders of John Openshaw were never to receive the orange pips, which would show them that another, as cunning as resolute as themselves, was upon their track. Very long and very severe were the equinoctials that year. We waited long for the news of the Lone Star of Savannah, but none ever reached us. We did it last year that somewhere, far out in the Atlantic, a shattered sternpost of a boat was seen swinging in the trough of a wave.
Oh, shit.
With the letters L.S. carved upon it. And that is all which we shall ever know of the fate of the Lone Star.
Okay. Yay! Omar! Oh my god. You brought Sherlock Holmes
killed
to
it.
New
oh,
heights.
Indeed.
Oh god.
What
I
a
just
performance.
Pictured him so drunk. Like collar akimbo.
Like, he kept hiccuping. And they never did shed it. Hold a second. And they never did see. I've got them in my grasp.
And there were 36 ships. Loved that. That was awesome.
Thank you.
So, okay, here's my question about the story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, these are such cunning individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just that they were mailing, like, they were mailing seeds to people and then killing them?
Yeah.
I think the cunning was in...
yeah, right?
Yeah,
like,
right?
Basically.
Super clever. Have you ever mailed a seed to somebody?
Like, ahead of time. That was
like
a trick.
Oh, right.
They
ahead
did
it
ahead of time.
Like,
and
do it
then
before
they,
you go
yeah.
kill them.
It wasn't, like, after, and they were just like, great.
I guess the cunning is in killing them without getting caught.
Yeah. And then they never really do get caught.
And freaking them out.
So just pushing people into water? Is that what they did?
Yeah,
they
it's like a lot of pushing people into water, which I guess Watson was right to be afraid of all that water.
Wow.
That's the real twist.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 811!
Water emergency!
Water emergency!
Oh, the water cops.
thank you so much for coming on and doing the
show. Thank
you
for having me.
That
was so
fun.
Much fun.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Omar Najam. You can find me on Instagram, Omar Najam Film. And also, I have a podcast that Kelly's also on called Thank You for Questing, if you want
Yay.
To check that out. It's a lot of fun. You can find it anywhere that podcasts are offered, I believe. If not, sorry. I don't have control over that.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
This has been Public Domain Theater. 5 Orange Pips by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle with Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, and Omar Najam.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.